Nachman Beis today. And getting back into the Machlokas, I think let's start actually from Rav Papa. Four lines up from the bottom of Amud Beit. Once again to review, Rav Papa said yesterday that all of the discussion that we had in terms of going out to Beisid, or Shogeg, or Ziyun, Dochrim, and so on, are relevant only to people with volition. But if you're talking about the Tchumim of Peirot and objects, because they have no volition, and by definition, every Yitziyah Chutz V'Tchum for a Pri is basically the equivalent of Otziyun Nochrim. And therefore, if a pumpkin was removed, Chutz V'Tchum, and then Chazru, then even if the people, meanies, who pulled that pumpkin around did it b'mezid, but the poor pumpkin being helpless, lo hifsidu et mikomam, and therefore you can do what you will. By the way, it's Rebbe Yehuda b'Loi. Sorry. Yeah. Sounded funny. So my time, I'm listening to the poor pumpkin. What are they to do? Eisei Rav Yosef Bashmaya or Rav Papa. So Rav Yosef Bashmaya pointed out to Rav Papa that clearly that's not supported by the Tanaim. Because Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omrim, La'olam Asurim, referring to Peirot, that were Yotzu Chutzlu Mekoman, both Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say that these pumpkins are Asur, Achi Yachzeru Mekoman Shogegin, only if they are restored to their original place and Bishogeg. Whereas you said that it doesn't matter whether it was Bishogeg, Bemezid, they're always basically helpless victims of being taken Chutz V'Tchum. So you see from here that we don't look at the pumpkin, we look at the person who removed it. Bishogeg in Bemezid Lo? Now, by the way, there's an interesting question over here, which is, why is that? I mean, you're saying Bemezid Lo is not for anybody. So as I have nothing to do with this, I'm definitely an innocent bystander. All I wanted to do was eat some pumpkin. Now you're telling me because somebody took that pumpkin, Chutz V'Tchum, and put it back, if he did it, amazing, I can't eat it. But we just recently said that even if you bring something, Chutz V'Tchum, and you bring it for somebody else, as long as it wasn't brought for me, then I am allowed to eat it. So why over here we bring more machmer? So Tosi says the difference is because it's Ayyadei Yisrael. Since the Isser was done of Chutz V'Tchum by Yisrael, Mashenken over there was talking about a guy who brought it to Chutz V'Tchum. Over there, we only ask it for the individual for whom it was brought. But where an Isser was done with it, Chutz V'Tchum by Yisrael, then you know, if you hold it, that it's Isser, so it's Isser for everybody. So we're more masculine. Again, this clarifies that we have a separate issue over here, besides the question of whether something can then be subsequently moved from its place. There's an additional issue over here about eating the pumpkin, which is something that was brought by Chutz V'Tchum. It even falls into that category, even more chomer in a sense than the case we had before of the withered turnips. We're over there as long as we were sure. Oh, thank you so much. On a nice rainy day like today, nothing like a hot cup of tea. Boy, have I fallen low. Fine. Look, it had to happen, you know. But that's what I've been about. You've got to left. If you hang around with Urkasti for too long, they're going to get to you. There's no question about it. That's what it is. Answers, Rav Papa, you're absolutely right. Rav Nechemiah and Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov do not agree with me. However, I know that it's a machlokas tanaim. And when I was telling you that a pumpkin is always considered to be an innocent victim, I was going according to the other tanaim, the Tanya. Perochi atzu chutz v'tchum b'shogeg yochelu b'mezid lo yochelu. So here it says, if Peirot were removed, they can be eaten if they were removed b'shogeg, but not if they were removed b'mezid. That's interesting. So, mashma that they can be eaten, in other words, even if they never got back. It doesn't say they have to go back with the Koman. So in other words, for somebody else for whom this is, it's Kurum, he lived in a city on the other side, for him, these Peirot in the Kurum, then there's no problem, according to now. But this doesn't tell us yet about what the din is about Yatsu, V'chazru, and so on. But let's see.
Maybe in that space?
What?
Does the person have to eat anything in the space of that Peirot that he picks up? Michutz Kutum, does he just pick it up and eat it, and can he take it further?
I don't understand, sweetheart. Don't get upset.
No,
if they don't, if they're out of their tchum, I mean, you're raising the issue that we're talking about. If they're out of their tchum, then I can't move them.
That was my question. You said he can eat them. My question was very simple. Can he eat them?
When they took it out of the tchum.
Does he have to go further, can he go further with them?
No, they're removed from their tchum. They're in his tchum, but they have their own tchum. Otherwise, it would
not take
that's
them
right.
Further.
But they are not viewed as an Isra having been done, as far as that feel is concerned. That's right. What he's talking about over here, Yochelu. Yeah. So to relax, relax. Okay. It's you're not sufficiently masbir, that's all. Sometimes it takes me time to catch on. Relax. Okay, so we're talking about over here achila. We're not talking about there not being a tchum for perot. Let me clarify. Let me clarify for everybody. Again, we started off the discussion here of there being two completely separate issues. One is an isser of achila, which I mentioned to you as nogea, poses this question of why this is not the equivalent of bringing something mechutz tchum for another individual. So there's a general gezeira over here, which has nothing to do with the isser tchumin, because obviously when I'm eating it, I'm not moving it. This is one question. The other question is, it's tchum. Does it have a din of a tchum in its place? We've already established these perot have a din in their tchum, that's for sure. The question is whether they become osir b'achila b'chutz l'tchumam, A. B, whether if they were chazru l'lekumam, they now regain the tchum that they were in previously. We're certainly not giving them, according to anybody, a new tchum once they were removed from their tchum. That we're not doing. This is the same din mishos yud nochri in the l'lekumam. But being as no, we said over here, if it was done b'shogeg, fine, so why should I not eat it? It was brought b'shogeg into my area, I will eat it. What the halacha is of bringing it back into the tchum where they were, that we will have to establish. So far we haven't begun dealing with the machloket. We haven't shown that it's a tannoi. We will, be'ezrat Hashem. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, no. Only b'nekomam yochelu. If they're brought back, so then fine, so then it's as if nothing was done. But shalobimakomam, if they're not in their place, and how can you, they were removed. So then lo yochelu. Now, you didn't say whether you mean b'shogeg or b'mezid. So it's very interesting. The Tanakhama doesn't say whether he means b'mekomam or shalobimakomam. And the Rabbi Nechemya doesn't say whether he means shogeg b'mezid. So let's try to figure out exactly how these two interrelate, and then we'll see if we can establish that Rav Papa is correct in claiming that there's a machloket tanaim.
Oh,
Shlomo
is different than in the
Tchum Chutz L'Tchum? No, in their Tchum. In the Komam is, if it went back to where they were...
Their old place.
Their old place,
and
right.
And the Tanakh says called Chutz L'Tchum is...
Their new place.
Which is called Shlomo B'Komam.
Shlomo
B'Komam,
right.
So really, that the Tanakh...
But it's not clear which part they're arguing in. Are they arguing in where? Are they arguing in how? Are they arguing in both? So let's try to figure this out. My b'mekomam, what did you mean when you said that? Rabbi Nechemya says, b'mekomam. Okay, how did they get back to b'mekomam? They certainly didn't walk there on their own. So, ilema b'mekomam b'bezit. What are you telling me? That all that Rabbi Nechemya comes to say is, that Rabbi Nechemya is saying, as long as they're b'mekomam, who cares whether it's b'mezit, b'shogeg, everything's fine. Exactly like Rav Papa was saying, is that right? No, that's not right. Because Vakatari Behedya, if you take a look further on, you'll see that Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omrim la'olam asurim achi achzur l'mikoman shogigim. We will never be matir unless they got back to their place b'shogeg, which means dafke b'shogeg and not b'mezid. Okay? So then what they must have been saying, Rabbi Nechemya, is b'mikoman b'shogeg. Okay? So then what was his response to the Tanakhama? What was the Tanakhama talking about? The Tanakhama wasn't talking about Chazru at all, was he? Therefore, we'll have to understand that the Braisa is a reference to something that was inferred that they had understood in the Tanakhama, which is this. Chasuri Mechasra, Vachi Katan. The Tanakhama originally meant to say, Peirochi Yatsut Chutz Vutchu. Bishogeg Yochelu Bebezid Lo Yochelu, as stated. Now, we need to understand, however, that there's a missing piece. And here's the missing piece. I'm stressing that they never got back. On the other hand, if they got back to their place, then it's not an issue at all. Who cares how they got back? After all, they have no volition. Who's that going according to now? Rav Papa. That's exactly what Rav Papa said. As long as they get back where they belong, they didn't do anything wrong, therefore there's no problem. Comes along now with this new understanding of the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Nechemya now makes perfectly good sense. Rabbi Nechemya says, no, afilo b'mekomam, which we now for the first time have heard that the Tanakhama said is not an issue whether it's b'shogeg b'mezid, afilo b'mekomam nami b'shogeg in b'mezid lo. Isn't that the explanation? Says Rav Papa. So do you see that the Tanakhama holds like me? And yes, you were right in asking for Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Of course, they disagree. Admittedly, they disagree. But I'd like you to see you give me another explanation for the Tanakhama that's going to make sense in this braitha. So the Tanakhama is clearly saying, once it's back in its place, makes no difference. Where is it a problem? Well, it's outside of its makom over there. You have to take it into consideration because it's something that was brought mechutz l'tchum. It was brought mechutz l'tchum b'mezid. It's also for Yisrael to eat. That's a separate question. So I said, well, how do you know to read the Braita like that and to stick in the whole b'med varim amurim? Why can't we just keep it simple? Why can't we just say that if it was talking about b'mezid b'mekomam, nobody would have accepted that. Even the Tanakhama, Rabbi Nachem, are not arguing in that. Can we keep it simple? The Tanakhama was talking about Shalov and Mekomam, then it's saying B'shogeg, it's Mutter Shalov and Mekomam, and Rabbi Nachem is over Afilu Shogeg. Rabbi Nachem says, well, look, if it was taken outside of Tchum, it was brought out there, then it's usher for you to take it, to eat it. But the Mekomam, it's Dafka, where it's B'shogeg, yes, but also where it's B'mekomam. There it's okay. But if Shalom and Mekomam, the Shogeg that you are talking about, Tanakhama, won't help. The Shogeg will only help if it's also B'mekomam. Isn't that a way to read it? Tanakhama says, look, B'shogeg, it's all right. B'shogeg, it's all right, even Shalom and Mekomam. Comes along Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbi Lezer, to say, no. You're right about the Shogeg part. You're wrong about the Shalom and Mekomam part. It's never us until it's also B'mekomam and also B'shogeg. Makes sense. I don't understand why you have to now interpret the Tanakhama as holding that where do I say that it needs to be b'shogeg shelo b'mekomam? But if it was b'mekomam, it could even be b'mezid. So now you've created two machlokes. You said that the Tanakhama holds shelo b'mekomam, it's okay b'shogeg, and b'mekomam, it's okay b'mezid. Rabbi Nechemia holds it's never okay shelo b'mekomam, and if it's b'mekomam, it's only mutter b'shogeg. You complicated matters.
I may not phrase this well, but what's the underlying yisur that we're dealing with here that this machlokas is...
There are two underlying yisurs. One is the question of yitzia chutz the tchum on an object. Is the object measured in terms of itself and the tchum? Or because an object doesn't move about at all without someone moving it, we only look at the mover and not at the object. That's question number one. If we look at the mover, then obviously his intent is going to be exactly the same vis-a-vis the object as it is for himself. And we apply that intent to the object. So if the pumpkin moved b'mezid, so to speak, it was as if the man had left his tchum b'mezid. Therefore won't help him to come back. Okay? The other question is whether we aser something that was taken mechutz l'tchum for anybody to use to eat when it's chutz l'tchum. And even if it was chazer l'tchum, or if it was done b'mezid, then it's as if it was bar chutz l'tchum. Now back into its tchum.
These asers only relevant to coming in and out of tchum. That's the only place this aser...
The second issue?
Both of them.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
That's not part of an overall general a general issue. Yeah. Okay? I must say that I simplified a bit, maybe unfairly. Let me just point out the one issue that I really sort of pretended didn't exist, and that was why would I hold that b'shogeg it's aser chutz l'tchum since nobody did anything b'mezid. You see, the Tosfos deals with this issue. Tosfos says, don't think that the basis of shogeg shalob and mekomam now, according to these that are aser, remember Nechemi, Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, is the general rule about kansinan shogeg atu mezid. There's an overall question about in a case where we would give a fine, we would fine someone for doing an iser that he wasn't allowed to be nena from it, let's say. So there is a sheet that it holds with Rekones, even if it was done b'shogeg, it wasn't done purposefully, because we can't make this distinction and still have people keep clear in their minds that this is something that's also. So that's not the point over here. The point over here is that it's a gzeira, that we're afraid that if we allow you to eat it, but then you'll also come to be motziyat b'chutz li'arba amos, which is essentially the question that Moshe Baruch was raising. Since it's a given that you can't leave the arba amos, nobody's saying that there's no dinim of tchumim. So therefore, we also have to answer the achile, but it has nothing to do with katsinan shogeg atu mezid, because this is rabbanan. We don't say it's katsinan shogeg atu mezid in this case.
The fruit has its own arba.
So that, in other words, that means that there's a sub issue, which is whether we also have a gezeira shogeg mezid. But saying the general, the two issues, without with a little bit of oversimplification, are those two issues that we discussed before.
Can I ask a question that I really think is relevant?
Yes, please.
If a pri is, if you have your doran 1,500 amas from your house, does the pri take on your 2,000 amas?
If it's your
2,000 amas from its where it
is. If it's your peirot, then it has your tumim.
No matter where it is,
right, within you, yes. once it's chum sotchum. Yeah, well, that was the whole question of whether Peres Hefker can have a common, which we'll see later on, which we're going to get to. So now, says the Gemara, I don't see that Rav Papa has managed to prove that we have a machlokes tanaim, because if we read this braita and we keep it simple, we can say that it's all very, very clear. The Tana Kama simply was talking about a case where it was outside of the Tchum. The question was whether we're Kansinan, in this case, Shogeg, because maybe it'll be Motzi at Chutz Tchum. And Rabbi Nechemi and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov are saying that, no, I'm sorry, whenever it's Chutz Tchum, you're never allowed to eat it because of this problem. Maybe you'll end up taking it out. And the question is, that if it's betochatchum, then we're all agreed that if it's b'shogeg, it's okay. But if it's b'mezid, it's not okay. But where does Rav Popa see that somebody insists that even if it's b'mezid, it's okay? I don't see that he's established that at all. Says the Gemara, well, I'll tell you what Rabbi Nechemia would say. Rabbi Nechemia would say, look at the language. You're very conveniently ignoring the last piece. You're talking about the first piece, where Rabbi Nechemia Omer, b'mekomam yochelu shelo b'mekomam lo yochelu, correct? And you're 100% right. If that's all that it said, then we would be happy in accepting that explanation of the machlokas. Unfortunately for you, it continues on to say, and I want you to look at that seifa, miriktani seifa, Rabbi Nechemia v'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omrim, l'olam masurim achi yachru l'mekomam shogigin. Okay? Explain to me what the point of saying that was. Because it's clear from here that there's two separate issues. If there was only one thing they're making on, namely, that they're saying, the Tana Kama was saying one kula, even chutz l'tchum, it's okay b'shoge, then all Rabbi Nechemia had to say is, b'mekomam yochelu. Shalo b'mekomam lo yochelu. Because that's the issue. You're saying they can be eaten chutz l'tchum. We're not even discussing shoge gemesid. Of course, I'm agreeing with you about the shoge. So you're not adding anything, are you? Again, gentlemen, please let me, maybe we've gotten confused. Rav Papa started off by saying that shogeg and mezid is a non-issue when it comes to pumpkins, because they don't have shogeg or mezid. So the Gemara asked on Rav Papa, and how about Rabbi Nechemia, who says, only if they come back to shogeg? So apparently there are shogeg and mezid for pumpkins. Says Rav Papa, yes, of course, that's Rabbi Nechemia Shita. However, there is a Tana Kama who disagrees with Rabbi Nechemia Shita, and he holds that as far as pumpkins are concerned, there's no nafkamina how it is that your motzi chutz l'tchum in terms of the dinim of tchumim. Forget about the other issues of bringing something to chutz l'tchum, the yisr of doing something also for a yisrael. That's a separate question. That's whether I can be nene from the work that you, as a Jew, did illicitly to bring me the pumpkin. We're not talking about that. We're talking about whether they get back their tchum. Okay, says Rav Papa, I want to show you that there's a Tana Kama who disagrees with Rabbi Nechemia, who agrees with me, and who says that shogeg u'mezid is a non-issue. So the strangest, most unlikely place Rav Papa brings a riot that there exists such a Man D'Omar, is he takes a Man D'Omar who isn't even discussing that question. He takes a Man D'Omar who's only interested in whether we got to worry about somebody having done an issue for me. And he says that if a guy removes a pumpkin to bring it to me from chutz l'tchum, I'm allowed to eat it as long as it was done b'shogeg. Now you're scratching your head and you're saying, what the heck does that have to do with Rav Papa? How does Rav Papa bring a raya from here? And Rav Papa is now explaining how he brings a raya from here. He says, let me ask you something. Assuming that we're supposed to take this braita k'pshuto, what's the machlokas? You're thinking that the machlokas is that the Tana Kama holds that something that's brought b'shogeg chutz l'tchum can be eaten, and Rabbi Nechemia holds, if it's chutz l'tchum, you can't eat it, I don't care. It doesn't matter what the motivation was. And that's the whole machlokas, that's what you think. And you're looking at me like I'm crazy, and you're saying, what are you bringing in something that is absolutely not even on the same page? So let me explain to you why you are wrong. And there's another machlokas hidden between the lines over here. Because if you were right, what should it have said? The Tana Kama says, if you bring it chutz l'tchum, it can be eaten, as long as it was done b'shogeg. Yes, and Rabbi Nechemia argues and says, you can never eat it chutz l'tchum. That's all it should have said, right? Instead, for some crazy reason, Rabbi Nechemia himself brings up another question. He says, you can never eat it unless you bring it back chutz l'tchum, and then it's shogeg. Well, of course then it's shogeg. We're talking about the case of shogeg. Why are you suddenly discussing shogeg? Ah, I'll tell you why. Because Rabbi Nechemia knew that the Tana Kama had two things in mind. Vis-a-vis the yisur of another Jew bringing me something, he said, that's only a problem if it's b'mezid. Vis-a-vis the question of something regaining its tchum when it was brought back, an inanimate object, the Tanakhama said, as I did, what's the difference? Shogeg Mezid. Comes along Rebbe Nechemya now to respond on two levels. First of all, forget about chutzut chum. It's never mutter chutzut chum. Even if it was done for shogeg, it's not mutter chutzut chum, to eat. Now, as far as the other issue that you were talking about, that if it's back in its tchum, it's irrelevant whether it's shogeg or mezid. No, sorry, I disagree with that also. If it's back in its tchum, it absolutely is relevant whether it was shogeg or mezid, because it goes according to the person who removed it, not according to the inanimate object. So we have two machlokesim, which you're right, are not associated with each other. But it happens to be that the second one shows you that there's a machlokes tanoim about my issue. Very clear? Okay, do we understand that? Are we happy?
No, please.
Are we waving flags?
Another thing, I just
said. Slightly? That's an advantage.
If there was no overlap of two people's field or two people's stuff in, and...
That's another thing we'll get to later. Let's leave that with the dinimar and the overlap.
Two moves, if it's choking, is better than one move because the move is irrelevant and the issue is where the location or...
Yes and no, because there's two separate questions that are involved. But in terms of the issue of whether something should be looked at as having been brought to me, who was standing back in my tchum, you're right. Clearly two moves are better than one. I mean, but that's because it's back where it belongs. It's
not where it belongs. And the shogeg makes the move not count.
No. According to whom? The Tanakhama says there is no shogeg and there is no mezid. Shogeg and mezid is only relevant when we're talking about the isser of having brought me something b'chutz l'tchum.
Right.
Not when we're talking about the question of where something is. It's extremely important to keep the concept separate here, because otherwise it's hopelessly confusing. Once one sees what it's talking about, it's very, very clear.
Mezid according to the person inside the tchum, or mezid according to anybody?
Mezid in terms of the mover.
The mover.
What was the mover's intent? Did he know he was taking the chutzot chum, or did he not realize it? That's the mezid in the show. So let's see this last part again. You can't keep it simple, unfortunately for you. Because since Rabbi Yechevi and Rabbi Yezim and Yaakov say that la'olam asurin ad sheyachzeru lemekomam shogegin, all of which is irrelevant, this business of shogegin, because that's the only thing we've been talking about anyway. So why do they mention shogegin? Because they're stressing. Whereas you hold even the mezid, it's okay because you think that mezid is irrelevant. We're telling you it's not irrelevant. And even when it comes to the question of having been brought back into its tchum, it's only shogeg and not mezid, which implies very clearly that they knew that the Tanakhama held that mezid was mutter if it was brought back like me, says Rav Papa. Shmamina, therefore we have proven, and there's a girsa that says, Shmamina tanoihi, Shmamina. From here we have proven that I, Rav Papa, am right, and indeed this is my book, Tana. Omrim Nachman, Omar Shmuel, Hayama Haleh, the guy's walking along, and now he's in the middle of nowhere, and it's Shabbat. What's he supposed to do now? There's no signposts or anything that say, Ad Kan Tchum Shabbat. What does he do? He'd like to continue to walk and to see whether he gets to any place that's at least somebody around. How far can he walk? Mahalech alpain psiot benoniot. A common standard step is one amma. And he can rely on that. Vizohi tchum Shabbat. That will be his 2,000 amot, our 2,000 standard steps. So there you go. And being as he's always known that he is Mr. Normal, it is now clear that he can rely on that for his tchum Shabbat.
From his place of awareness.
What's that?
From the place of awareness.
No, from the place where it became... Yeah. Well, I mean, the Beinuniyot is a rather difficult measurement unless you're right there normal, but there no better, never is anybody that's...
I thought everybody's normal.
None of us are great.
Okay. The Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel. Furthermore, says Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel. This is Shmuel's mind, but we're going to refer to it as Shmuel from this point on. That Shavat Bedik'ah. Now here's an interesting situation. You basically found yourself in the middle of nowhere. No matzitzot around. Nothing to rely on for Arba Amot, that it should all be the same area, like if you were lucky enough to land inside of a city or a chutzah or a cave or whatever. Instead, you're Shavat Bedik'ah, you're in the big valley. Now we only have your Alpayim Amot. What's more is you can't carry anywhere because it's all basically a carmelit, so you can't carry anything from one place to another, even though you can walk around. Now, come along some goyim in the middle of Shabbat, and they're on a camping trip, and they surround the entire bik'ah with a mechitza on Shabbat, And they set up their tents, so now it's mukaf ledira. It's not more than the Beis Hatayim Shalohu kaf ledira. Their intent is to bet this camp out there. So now in the middle of Shabbat, you suddenly have machitzas. Now, you'd like to carry. What's more, you would even like to play a game of ball. I mean, these guys are like, they're all sitting there playing, you know, playing soccer. And you're worried about, I can't play. No, wait a minute, it's no problem. You've got your full 2,000 amot to walk. I mean, it doesn't help you that they built a mechitza to make it all like arba amot. That not, because you weren't shovek in those mechitzot mibo'od yom. So they don't count. You'll say, why is it any different than the case in the Mishnah? Mishal tzilu nochrim. And over there, if he finds himself bediro besahar, according to Rebbe Gamliel, we said, the din is that it's all arba amot. So why isn't this the same as finding himself in a dir v'sahar? He now finds himself basically in a dir v'sahar. They made the dir v'sahar. So why can't it all be arba amot? Because as Rashi explains, where are we making? Where a guy only has arba amot. So there we say, if he was deposited in a larger area instead of Nebach, the guy only having arba amot, we are makel to allow him to have the entire area in which he was deposited, according to Rav Gamliel. But this guy is 2,000 amot. I mean, he's got a long way to go, and therefore we won't give him this kula.
It's 2,000 amot in all directions.
Yeah, it's 2,000 amot in all directions. So therefore, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, who holds that even if you weren't, remember, there's two issues here. These are going to turn out to be both very important issues. One issue is, were you shoveit ba'avir mechitzot before Shabbat? Normally, we give you the halakha of an entire area defined as being all arba amot only if you were in that area before Shabbat. Not if you now are outside of your tchum in a different city. There we're not going to say you now get the whole area because you weren't kovei your makom shmitah. Therefore, you are here basically in a no space within another space, and there's no way that your no space can expand into the space. This is not your makom shmitah. Furthermore, the second issue is the kula that Rabbi Gamliel gives. Do we see that as a kula that anyone who is in a no space through no fault of his own is now allowed to expand that space? No, we do not say that. What we do say at the max is that in order to avoid a person being in a hopeless position of having only arba amot for the whole Shabbat, if he has a clearly defined space about him, then that space is given to him as a kula to expand his arba amot. But never did we say, when a guy has 2,000 amot around him, that we would expand his 2,000 amot into the additional space, which he wasn't in before Shabbat. In this case, the space was created on Shabbat, correct? Because the mechitzot were added. Now, let me ask you something. What's the din of finding yourself within mechitzot that were made on Shabbat in terms of carrying? If mechitzot were made on Shabbat in the middle of Rishut HaRabim, is the area in the mechitzot Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaRabim?
I think it's Rishut HaYachid.
No? Of course. As we said earlier, any mechitza, even if it's made on Shabbat, makes no difference with mechitzot or reality. The question of Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim are questions of spatial reality. Something that's surrounded by mechitzot is a Rishut HaYachid. There's nothing you can do about it. You may not like it, and indeed Rebbe Eliezer says, this is disgusting. Guy builds mechitzot on Shabbos, now he gets the advantage. If it was done by Bezid, he can't use it to his advantage. Okay, all that means is that he can't carry within it. If somebody would nonetheless throw from Rishut HaRabim into the Rishut HaVice and Versi, certainly be chayav, and the can't use what he likes and doesn't like to change the facts. Now, in this case, therefore, when it comes to carrying is one issue. So if somebody builds a mechitzot on Shabbat, it's no fault of mine. Before, I couldn't carry in this area because it was a bika, it was a carmelite. Now, all of a sudden, it's Rishut HaYachid. Once again, we need to be differentiating between two different types of mechitzot. One, a mechitzot that expands personal space in terms of tchumim, and one mechitzot that defines objective space in terms of Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid. We saw this distinction earlier in the opposite direction, gentlemen. Think of this conceptually. Rava's idea of a non-mechitza, nonetheless defining who the Eruvo b'makom echad. Remember, Rava's brilliant idea was that since in terms of your tchum, your arba amot, or your expanded space, the whole city for that matter, is considered to be Ke'arba Amot, anywhere the Erev is in that area. I don't care if it's the top of a tree, you're on the bottom of the tree, makes no difference. Uvei Ruvo B'makom Echad, and that doesn't bother me. Obviously, when it would come to carrying Midiraisa, then it's a question if there's no real mechitzot here. But if we create virtual mechitzot of your personal space of Arba Amot to define objective space, no. Here, it's exactly the opposite case. This is really fun. It's the exact opposite case. In terms of Shabbat and objective mechitzot, this is Rishut HaYachid. So I should be allowed to carry. But in terms of my personal space, this is irrelevant because I wasn't in this space before Shabbat. And therefore, it's the exact opposite case. In terms of Shabbat, I can carry. So here I am in the middle of Rishut HaYachid, and as long as I don't go out of my Alpayim Amma, I can carry. What's more, I can throw the ball. I can throw the ball as far as I want, because throwing is not a question of my tchum. Where is the difference? The ball didn't have my tchum. So I can throw the ball to the guys on the other side of the field, outside of my Alpayim Amma, as long as I don't carry it. But I'm in a Rishut HaYachid, it's the exact opposite case, in which the Mechitzot of Shabbat work with Avi Tiltul, but they don't work to define my personal space. The earlier case we had was where the Mechitzot of personal space to make it Uvei Ruvo B'makom Echad, but you wouldn't be allowed to carry because you don't have the objective Mechitzot. Right? Beautiful. So now we have both extremes here.
Why doesn't the ball
outside the Alpayim Amma to the other guy, which is Muslim, he can then take it and eat it wherever he'd like?
No, he's a guy. He could definitely take it anywhere.
And if there's a jewel over there next
time? It wasn't because of Tchum.
But it's the Tchum of the Pri. I found it outside.
No, the Pri doesn't have a Tchum. The Pri here was after. I just found the apple on the ground. If it's my apple, you're right. I can't throw it out of the Tchum.
Oh, that was mine.
Yeah, so here's the ball.
Okay.
They brought the ball. I wasn't planning on playing soccer here today.
He's not going to need the soccer. Right. It's their team. It's not the home. Yeah, they brought the team.
That's right. So therefore, here's such an interesting case. You still can only walk Alpayim Amma. That doesn't change. But you can be metaltel anywhere in the Mechitzot, even out of the Alpayim Amma. What do you mean? But I can't get there. But you can throw. So you can throw the ball as far as you want.
Oh, that's what the
Ayyadezrika. Exactly. You throw the ball as far as you want, as long as you don't walk out beyond that invisible line.
You can carry up to your 2,000 Amas, right?
And you can throw.
But you can throw beyond it.
Beyond it. Why not? What did I do? I didn't go outside of my tomb. The ball wasn't part of my tomb, so everything's okay.
But if it was the free, you couldn't throw it outside.
If it was my free.
If it was my free, you couldn't throw it outside. Right.
Ravuna says, no, wait a minute. Mahalach Alpayim Amma, yes, I agree with the limitations. But I can tell you that you can only carry the way you carried before, as if it were a carmelite. You can only be metaltel Arba Amot. So he says, why is that? Metaltel Bekula. Understand, what's wrong with throwing the ball? Al Yedei Zrika. No, because if you throw a ball, next thing you know, you'll be running to catch it. And then you'll be going out of your Alpayim Amma. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work to have you throwing things and remember, but I can't go beyond. I mean, exactly. What do you do? Put a little electric collar on you and make sure that you get a shock every time you come up to the virtual mechitza. No, it's too dangerous. Okay, fine. Let him not throw the ball, all right? You want to be machmir on the poor guy. I understand. But how did you get Arba Amot? I mean, at least within his Alpayim Amma, he certainly has got good mechitzot. I'm true. The mechitzot are way out there, and I can only see them with a telescope. But it's all around me. Why can't I be sumach on those mechitzot to carry within the mechitzot as long as I don't go out of my tomb? I mean, it's sort of an issue, isn't it? So, how about that? Aha! Brilliant! Because now that I've answered on you to throw outside of your Alpayim Amma, so now it turns out that there are two separate areas here, aren't there? There's the area which is mutter for you to carry in, and there's the area that's also for you to carry in. But wait, once there's such a distinction, you now have a mokom of heter that is completely parutz into a mokom of iser. And since it's parutz to a mokom ha'asur, it's no different than any case where we define areas in which, let's say, a chutzer, the wall falls down on the chutzer. It's more than 10 amot. You can't carry in the chutzer anymore. Why? Because it's parutz to Rishut HaRabim. In this case, man, it's as parutz as it's ever going to get. There's nothing here. Absolutely nothing here. Yeah, but so what? One is a mutter Rishut HaRabim and one is an answer Rishut HaRabim. In fact, the same thing would be about a chutzer, even though it was parutz to a chutzer that was connected that they didn't have an eruv with. No good. So you can't carry there. So therefore, I got you on both ends. Once you agreed to the fact that it was Usher Bezrika, I knew I had you. Mm. So therefore, there's two steps here in this Isser. I create the Makama Usher because of my Gezerah of Zrika, but having created it, now you're in big trouble because now you don't have a wall between the two areas.
Ravuna doesn't hold of this.
Ravuna doesn't hold of our heter.
No, just now where we said you can hold.
Ravuna says
that you can.
No, it says you can only be metal to our Ravuna. Ravuna, you mean Shmuel. You're confusing Shmuel and Ravuna?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, and the Shmuel doesn't hold it. The Shmuel holds you can be Zorik, so what's not
it? It doesn't have a problem with the Mechitza.
Because there is no Makam HaAsur
law. All right.
There's only a Makam HaAsur law. Once I make the Gezeirah of Ravuna, the Shemi Yemoshe Chacharav. If I'm not worried about maybe chasing the ball, then I have no problem, because the whole area is Mutter Batilta, albeit only through Zrika. But it's still, it's Mutter Batilta.
So, that seems to go from the
Shita of
the Tchum Shabbos is
Rabban. You mean the Raita? You said the Rabban. But only if all this
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah, but no, that's not true, because... Yeah, that's the nature. I can't understand them. These charts and these pictures, they make me hopelessly confused. Does anybody find them useful?
I do sometimes.
Not like that.
But they're English.
Sometimes dry.
Touche. No, but I think it's an important point, this question. I've always felt it's very important. Because the only way that we think is through iconization, mm-hmm. right? And as we create, how are we able to think with such complex ideas without needing to work through each time, every last step? Which if you do, of course, you get nowhere. You can't even figure out, you can't get from any point to any other point because there's almost an infinite number of steps between them. If you can actually work out the logic, try writing a computer program to tell the computer this idea, you know? And you'll see how many steps are involved. It's absolutely maddening. It's like trying to program common sense in a computer. It's so far proven to be an impossible task. What are the rules for common sense? So iconization works by allowing you to shortcut this whole complicated process of figuring out what that. You try to learn Yavamas, and every time the Gemara mentions a particular relationship, you work out the relationship in your brain. The six stages of how you'll go totally crazy, and that's what these horrible diagrams do. They force you to look at here's the little red line, there's the dotted line, there's the thicker line, and so on. I forget it, and it literally makes people give up. You've got to have it's like when you say his cousin, it's my cousin, it's my third cousin once removed. You know exactly what that is. Now, if you need to sit down and figure out it's aunt Suzette's son's child's, I mean, forget it, right? And that's what these things do. They confuse you by destroying your iconization. And that's what I think when you try to do that, you end up not enjoying Gemara because you get so caught up in this detail and that detail. You can't see the picture. The picture exists in your mind, not in the book.
And you almost don't use your own family?
No. No, you just use the idea. A cousin is a cousin. A brother-in-law is a brother-in-law. That's all there is to it. I can't sit and think about it all the time.
So how often do you want to check those iconizations?
The more you're able to be sophisticated, the more your ideas are going to expand. Because you have limited computer power up there in that protoplasm, and you better use what you can.
I think some people do find it easier, though. It's a different... I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm saying that they're not ready to let go.
Right.
And if they're not ready to let go, then they can't really get very far, because there's a limit to how much computing space you have. That's the unfortunate truth. If you want to use brute force in a cryptological situation, it could take you longer than the universe exists. You know? I mean, that's what they're trying to do. Okay. Anyway, so... Now that we've gotten out of that Zrika Chutz Li'Arba, we can get back to our own Arba Amos over here. And we have now the Chiddush that it's Mechitza Shenifritza Bimlo'a L'makoma Asurla. Whereas Chia Barav Amar, Ma'alek Alpayim Amar, look, you can only work your Alpayim, but you can carry, and you carry normally, not through Zrika. You can be Metalto Be'Alpayim, but you can't throw that ball. Now this is inconsistent. Because once you admit that you can't throw the ball, then you should admit that you got the problem with pizza that's different than Maloa. You're having it both ways. You're saying, well, I agree that there's a gzera and you can't go out. And then you're saying, but that doesn't create a problem. Why not? Ask the Gemara Kaman. So now you're not following any consistent approach. You're not following Rav Nachman, who was telling us Shmuel's did, and you're not following Rav Huna. You're right. Ema, we must have misquoted him. Ema, metaltal, not balpayim, but metaltal barba. What? Then you're saying the same thing that Ravuna said. He off the iron of the Ravuna. What do we need him for? Ema, v'chein om Reb Chiya Barav. It means that Reb Chiya Barav also said this, which remember implies that Shmuel, that at least Rav disagreed with that. Om le Ramnachum Ravuna, let me tell you something, buddy. Lo tiflo galei de Shmuel. You don't want to get yourself into a bad position over here. Because if you're going to argue on Shmuel, you're going to be attacked with a bright. The Tanya Kabbateh, I got a braita that says basically what Shmuel says over here. He says you're allowed to play ball. The Tanya, Hayamodeid Uba. A guy is measuring now to the place in which he's able to walk now. So he's carrying away from, he's walking away from his Eruv. And he gets now 2,000 Amot away, and he finds himself in the middle of another town, the Chatzi Ha'ir. Mutar l'taltel b'chol ha'ir kula. He can carry around this entire city as long as he doesn't cross that invisible line. Now, how the heck can you carry if you can't cross? There's only one explanation. You can throw. Which tells us that the Tana believes in play ball. Mm-hmm. Is what else could it mean? So what does it mean you can carry? Doesn't it mean you can carry by throwing? So obviously there's no gzeira of Shema Yimashech HaKarav. And therefore this proves Shmuel's contention that Rav Huna has created problems out of whole cloth. There is no iser in playing ball chutz l'tchum, as long as you don't chase the ball.
Why,
this means if you have two cities close to each other, less than 2,000 miles away, and you walk into the second city, you can't do
anything. We'll get there. We'll get to that problem. We'll get to that problem.
Seems that that's what it's saying.
That's what I thought.
That's the case. The Gemara is taking for granted that if this is not your makom before Shabbat, that you can only walk up to your makom. This has been our klal all along. I thought you're asking about whether, when you're counting the tchum, the city counts as four amas or not.
No, we thought we discussed yesterday. Yeah. The whole city. My question was.
We didn't discuss that yesterday.
I thought we had.
All right. No, a city is arba amot if it's within your tchum, and then you continue counting out of it. But over here, your tchum is kala in the middle of the city.
And so, the second city being kala in the end of the tchum, that city does not become as arba amos.
Right.
Only the original city.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it say mutar l'talta b'chetzi?
Because that's the whole chiddush. It's that you're mutar l'talta on the whole thing. That's the point. You can carry the entire city. Okay. So, which is what Shmuel said. Now, if you can't get out to the city, how can you carry in the city? The only explanation is by throwing your ball. Now, this girsa is very problematic. Rashi doesn't have the girsa. And he says, if you want to be gorisit, then the only way to explain it is as follows. Omer Avuna lo al yedei mishicha, that when it says over here you can carry in the whole area, you can carry, yes, by pulling something towards you. So in other words, let's say that you have something that's outside of your tchum. If you're throwing something away from you, you're likely to follow it. But if you're bringing something into you, then why should we be gozer that you're going to follow it? On the contrary, you're bringing it to you.
So only Ayyadim Shincha would it be.
Right. Right. But then you have a problem, because you're going to have to explain, this is why Rashi doesn't have the gears. You're going to have to explain, if it's Mutter Batilta Ayyadim Shincha, then how is it Poritz to Malka Masurla?
One more time.
The whole point of Rav Huna is that there's two steps over here. Once I make it Osir to Zrika, I now make it Osir in anything. Because it's now Poritz L'makom HaAsurla. But now, clearly, that is, you can't be saying that, because I'm not supposed to be carrying there at all. Once I can carry Al Yedei Mashiach, so why is it Nifritz L'makom HaAsurla? It's a separate Gezerah. Ready? Is that clear what the problem is?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a way to carry in that other area, how does it become porutz to Mokom HaAsurla? It's mutter to carry there. It's a very, very strange halacha, isn't it? To say that, well, it's usur for Zrika, and therefore you can't even carry in your area. But you can pull things towards you from outside of that area. What does that mean? The Tosa says the only way that you can justify such a thing is by postulating that Rav Huna sees this as an extension of a concept that we haven't reached yet, in which we separate between the carrying of different objects. So we'll get to there, but if something is on the roof of a building, you're allowed to carry things that are roof objects, but not things that are house objects. That means that we actually do find cases, Tosis points out, that something can be in its own space for one element, and yet the space is considered to be a separated space for other elements. Now, this, of course, is no idea of the idea of things that were shoveis and achotzer, you're carrying an amavor, your things that are on a gag, can you carry them in all of the gagot, and they don't require a separate eruv? These are things that we'll see later on. But Tosfos says that there is some basis, therefore, for constructing separate spaces. So we could construct a space for the purposes of Mishicha, and nonetheless claim that it's usher in terms of Tiltul, and it's not completely outrageous. Okay, but, as I said, many do not have this girsa of lo al yaday Mishicha.
At all.
The whole thing is taken out. There's no response. Obviously, you understand. That's what we've been building on all along. Why all of a sudden are we... No, the Kiddush is Eina Yesho Chatzi Chatzer. The Kiddush is that he has rights to that Chatzer, and the part that's in his tomb he can carry in. He can? Well, first of all, he says Hanami Pshita, that the part that's within his own tomb, that's obvious, no? What are you going to say? No, it's not obvious, because why isn't it considered to be nifritza l'mako ma'asurla? Again, according to Rav Huna, we have a gezeira that we will not allow you to be zorik out of the area. Over here you have mefitzot all around you. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to throw. Rav Huna said if you're not allowed to throw, then you're not allowed to carry. So when he says over here you have the entire chutzah to carry, you certainly can't say pshita. It's a big kiddush.
Right.
Because it ought to be the same as the case in the Bika. Right? Now the Tosfos Shans, which we came here, incorporated the right. Take a look at the very curious Rashi that we have here. There's two sets of Rashis, one after the other, explaining the same thing, but in different ways. Right? One of them is the Tosfos Shans, which appears here in the small letters in your Tosfos on the side, where the Tosfos Shans asks, how could you be metalto b'chatzi chatzer? It's nifratz l'mbaka ma'asurla. Right? So he brings Rashi's shot, which is what first appears here in the Rashi. But Rashi wants to understand that he's not talking about carrying, he's talking about walking. But that's very, very strange, because we see it's talking about l'talto, as we're going to bring it. And therefore, the Tosfos Shans says, and this gets incorporated into your Rashi in the Rashis, in the second half, about halfway the way down, where the Rashi says, honami pshita. But it's so poshut that we're asking, it's not similar to the case of the Bika. Why? Because over there it makes sense that it's nifritza l'mokom ha'osurla. Why? Because these mechitzot did not exist during the day. They were created. Therefore, this area was an area that was defined for anybody. Not only you, because of your personal no-space situation. But this area would have been defined as a Bika for anyone. So now that we put these up, they don't help you? But what are you going to say? An achatzer, where the bechitzas exist objectively, l'kolo elam kuloi, it's been defined as a chatzer. The moment that you get there, what we're going to say is, okay, the carrying is mutter here, and you can't walk out. That's all. So in that case, obviously, we're not going to say that it should be nifritza l'makom. There is no separate makom. Who can create a separate makom in this case? And therefore, it's pshita, says the Gemara, that you could certainly carry within that chatzer. So anami pshita, says the Gemara, no, because not a day malachus dim hatzur the tutula bekula. You're right that in terms of the din of nifritza l'makom asurla, it may be pshita. But do you not have to be concerned with a person getting easily confused, and you're drawing an invisible line, and you're saying, you may carry, but only up to here, up to where, up to here, up to where. So if he's going to be carrying in half of the chatzah, we're not afraid that he's now going to start walking out, and he'll go across now the entire chatzah. Therefore, you might think that I would be gozer in this case too. Come on, and that's a big kiddush that everyone is telling you, in this case I'm not concerned, even though it's a chatzah.
Why don't we just say that everything's Fiben and Shmashas as we did before, as we do with everything else with the Talmud, I thought. Ben Shmashas is what you have, your Machom Shvisas Nikvah, and so it's...
But this is not where you were, Ben Shmashas. You were 2,000 amas away, Ben Shmashas.
Right, but this was created on Shabbos.
And what was created on Shabbos? What one?
How? Maybe we're talking different things, I'm confused. I thought we were talking about a chatzer here that was made during Shabbos.
No. We're specifically talking about a chatzer that was not made during Shabbos.
That's what people are thinking.
That's how it's different than the Bika. Omer Nachman, Modali Huna, now I want it very, very clear, even though Rav Huna was gozer with this idea of maybe following your ball out of the area, nonetheless, Rav Huna would have been moda to me that Hayamodeiru Ba, a guy who is now walking to measure his chum, and he comes right to the edge of his tchum, and guess what? The edge of his tchum is the edge of a tikra, where the wall has collapsed. He can go into that house, and he can, I mean, he can't walk into the house, but he can carry, obviously only through Zrika, but he can carry within the house. Why is that? My time. Hovetikrat habayit chovetet. The only gezerah that we have is where he may be mamshich, because there's no invitation. He can't see, but over here he can see. He can see that there's a roof above him. So where is an invisible line? In Achinami, over there he goes, you may follow your ball out. But if there's some people playing ball inside the house with him, to his club outside the house, and there's also obviously bechitzas here, then there's no problem. He can even throw outside and Ravuna wouldn't be gozer. Omer Ravuna b'Reder of Nasan, actually ketanoi. This whole question of the gezerah of whether you might be nimshach acharav or lo is a machlokes tanoim. Where do we see this? Holichu le'ir acharat. It says in our mission here, they go and pick him up on Shabbos, take him to another city, or they put him in a deer, they put him in a sar. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say he can walk through the whole area, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva say no, he only has arba amot. Now, what are they arguing? Is it not true? Now, it isn't true, maybe. In other words, let's not get confused about this, because we know there are other issues that are involved here. We know that one of the issues that are involved, as we'll see, is whether you can be kona a mechitzas where it wasn't your makom shvi'ah, so whether you have to be there before Shabbos for the mechitzas to be meaningful to you. But on a cursory look, it appears that all we have to worry is this. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, who are saying that you could be mahalakas kula, they are saying there's no problem of a gezera, the lo gazri hiluch bir v'sahar, otu hiluch bibik'a. In other words, they say, well, why not carry within all area? It's all one area. And what are you going to say? That if a person was deposited, let's say, in a 2-mile-long valley, that he would reach the conclusion that he could walk around the whole valley? We don't make such a gezerah. We're over there, clearly only has arba amot. So they say, any idiot knows the difference between being in a place where you have mechitzot, where you can carry all throughout the area, and being in a place where there are no mechitzot, and you only have arba amot. Now this has nothing to do with the issue, yet. However, what I suggest is that we can infer from this, that in the same way, Dolo gozru hiluch bir v'sar otu hiluch bebika, right? If that's the case, but hiluch otu hiluch lo gozru, if they're not worried about your walking in the wrong place because of your right to walk in the right place, then they shouldn't be worried about throwing in the wrong place because of you maybe walking in the wrong place. I mean, apparently they don't make these kind of gezeras. Maybe as Aaron suggested, it's a drabanan, they feel that it's making it like a gezera le gezera. They don't hold that you have to worry about these gezeras. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva, who say, Eino ala arba amot, I would imagine that the reason that they only give the poor guy arba amot is because they're afraid if they tell him he can walk the entire area, so then maybe if he was deposited in a bika, he would end up walking also outside of his tchum, because over there are no mechitzot. And therefore, they're gazrinan, hiluch bir v'sar, otu hiluch de bika. Umine hiluch otu hiluch gazre. So if Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva are worried about not walking because maybe you'll walk in the wrong place, then they would also say, don't throw because you may walk in the wrong place. So they would be gozer tiltul. Also, otu hiluch nani gazre. That's how I would read the machloket in the Mishnah. Are we okay? Do we worry about halicha out of your tchum, or do we say, look, you know, whatever the rule is, the rule is, why should we worry about what you might do? Says the Gemara, well, why do you jump to conclusions like that? Mimai. Dilma kilo gazir, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, hiluch sar of a deer, otu hiluch bika. Maybe the point over there is, hani mili atam b'shnei mekomotin. I mean, they're not gozer in two different types of places. Let me just say, you're going to confuse an open valley with an enclosure. Why would somebody confuse that? Does that necessarily mean that Tiltul Otu Hiluch, where you're all in the same place? You're in the same valley, and now you're saying, and you can retain in your mind an imaginary line. Why? How does one follow? I don't understand. Who's to say it's a general question of whether we make gezeiros? Uh-huh. This gezeira is reasonable, and this gezeira is unreasonable. So it's certainly possible that they would say that if you're in Makom Echad, and we're expecting you to toe the line when you can't even see it, so then maybe in Akinami there would be gozer. So Akinami to God's gezeira, Shemi Yimashik Akachep, so maybe you'll chase the ball out of your tongue. Furthermore, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand. What makes you think that the halacha of not walking the Deir V'Sahar is because of a gezeira? Maybe they'll walk somewhere else. We might mention the Gazrihu. Maybe it's because Dilma Mishum de Kasabri, maybe it's because they hold that the whole halacha of saying Ki Amrinan, quote, Kol Habayit Kulo Karba Amot, unquote. We have a general rule. A place that is Mukaf Mechitzot is all considered to be like one Arba Amot vis-a-vis Tchumim. They may be talking about a concept of what is defined as your place, nothing to do with Gezerot at all. They may simply be saying that if these Mechitzot were not your Mechitzot, then they cannot be viewed as your Arba Amot either. Nothing to do with a Gezerah. It's a straightforward issue of what defines personal Mechitzot. You're not there, you don't have them. I don't understand how you relate it to the issue of a year which is like a total non sequitur. The question of whether we're afraid you're going to run after a ball, nothing to do with this whatsoever. So, they would never have said such a thing. Aaron has decided that we've completed, so we'll have to stop. I agree, but we're already, it's been going too long. I thought actually we were going to get down to the dots.
No.
I mean, this is a sort of a, but at this point, I think we're best, we can't get along without Aaron anyway. So. Oh, there are those two dots. They're just way down.